This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. In the 1990s, virtual reality was a gimmick, clunky and not very realistic. But today, with the rise of Oculus Rift and other VR headsets, it's pretty darn convincing. That sound comes from a YouTube video where a young woman wearing a virtual reality headset is more or less freaking out while playing a zombie survival game. And after she's done, she takes off the headset, wipes away a tear, and raises a hand to show just how badly she's shaking. For some folks, this immersive experience is part of the thrill. It's just a simulation, after all. But there is no denying that virtual reality can have a powerful effect on our emotions and our bodies. At Be Another Lab, researchers have been running experiments on how virtual reality could be used to make people more empathetic. Imagine, for example, looking down at your hands and seeing a different skin color, or stepping momentarily into the body of the opposite gender. Others have pointed towards its use as a type of therapy for folks suffering from PTSD. But the folks at Be Another Lab also warn that virtual reality might just as easily be used to inflict anguish. Marte Royal is a lecturer and researcher at Be Another Lab, and he joins us now to tell us more. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you.
You've seen the powerful possibilities of virtual reality up close. Why do you think it has such a powerful impact on people?
I think it's sensory capabilities. It's very powerful. It's probably the closest we have gotten to replicating reality.
Yeah, there's some of these videos I was talking about where you know see somebody playing a zombie game. You know, I've watched people where they start losing their physical ability to control the controllers. You know, they're ready to throw the headset off their bodies. It really seems like their brains are being tricked and they know it.
Yeah, definitely. And there's also a sensory deprivation component where you're completely immersed in this other reality, which is not completely free in a way as we are used to the freedom that we have of our body and senses in actual reality. So that's also another aspect that could potentially account for this.
So what did your empathy experiments look like at Be Another Lab? What were the sorts of things that you were doing and discovering?
Well, I think there's a very basic idea of stepping into the shoes of someone else, which really comes naturally from virtual reality. And what we did different than others was to work with actual people that have a real story. And not only that, but work in real time, so you are able to step into the shoes of someone else that is situated on the same location as you are. And you can start a conversation from there with that other person. So basically, stepping into the shoes of anyone that has a different identity from you could potentially open space for empathy and dialogue.
So the flip side to the research that you've done is this idea that virtual reality technology has real impacts on conditions like chronic pain and PTSD, but that it could also have negative impacts with those same ideas. You know, we could maybe inflict pain or create traumatic experiences. Is this the sort of thing that you had a realization about as a group, you know, a moment where you thought, ooh, what if somebody is doing the same things that we are but coming to a very different set of conclusions?
Definitely. I think we were very naive when we started the project. We really wanted to create a better world. And by doing this system that could grow exponentially, we thought that we would make exponential change in humanity. And we, of course, realized at some point that it wasn't as pretty as it looked. We realized this partly by attending many VR events in the world, where the discussion centered on the industry. And by realizing that most of the industry has developed with military funding and still is. And we wondered why would military be interested on this. And one of the reasons, of course, on our particular application would be to potentially de-empathize communities. So how do you make sure that people don't have any feelings towards the other?
Do we have a sense that even though it is a simulated experience, a person wearing a virtual reality headset might experience some type of quote-unquote real pain?
I mean, what is real pain? I'm not very sure, but psychological pain, of course. And I think that can be felt very physical. You can only imagine the worst things that could happen to you or your family and experience them in a very immersive way. And I cannot imagine any bigger pain than that.
Are you concerned that the technology is moving faster than the conversation?
Yes, definitely. I think we are the non-expert community is very naive. But I do think that we should have a more mature conversation on VR and on technology as well in general. Technology doesn't grow in a vacuum, no? Technology is born in this system of exploitation, and most of the technological advances of the past century have been from military technology and still are. So in that sense, I think we should be very careful about our consumption and our ideas and our focus. Of course, many of the VR applications that are coming out are games, and many of the games are, I mean, this has been in the public conversation for years, maybe decades. Many of them are first-person shooters,
Right.
and that's in a way very related to the conversation that we are having.
Given that, what are you working on at Be Another Lab now? I mean, you've had this realization, you've spoken about it publicly, but obviously you're going to keep doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah, we are, and we are focusing on social applications, anything from work with refugees to work with children in marginalized communities. But one of the things that we aim to do, and we haven't found the space or the proper collaborations to do so, is to develop a license that is a plugin to the Creative Commons license, which is a commonly used license on mostly on technologies. So the license that we're looking at is a culture of peace only license, so that whatever developments that we do can be applied by anyone as long as it is applied for promoting a culture of peace. It's of course a philosophical matter and an ethical matter. What is a culture of peace? But
Right.
that's one of the things that we would like to develop.
Well, Marte, thank you so much for speaking with me about this.
Sure.
Marte Royal is a researcher with Be Another Lab, a group that's been experimenting with virtual reality. You can learn more about their work at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.